Ah. Woo. I'm in a reggaeton type mood right now, Benny Boy, because I'm watching this World Baseball Classics on ESPN2, and Puerto Rico, hey, they're losing to the U.S.
Puerto Rico's getting smashed.
I know. So I'm hoping that, because I'm going for Puerto Rico in this game, and I'm hoping that they can at least boost some of the spirits that are going on over in L.A. right now with this World Series.
Happen.
Oh, man, that sucks. That blows. Anyway, once mic check one, two, what it do, what the business is. I am your co-host, Mr. Maurice Prophet.
And I'm Danny Day.
And this is another episode of the MDX Podcast. And as we said, we are watching the are you watching it right now? The World Baseball, whatchacallit?
Yeah.
Damn, man. I was thinking that, I was like, oh, man, Puerto Rico going to smack the shit out of the United States. Good shit. And then I turned it on, and I'm like, damn, 4-0. Jeez. I know it's like all like, what are you, a communist? What the hell, what's your problem, Maurice? But, you know, I always got to go for the underdogs and whatnot. Because I guess the United States is good this year, finally, huh?
Yeah. I wish we would change that logo.
Oh, the WBC logo?
No. The U.S. baseball logo. It's so terrible.
Why? Because S is all, like, striped and everything like that? Like,
because it looks like bacon?
Ha, 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 ha. But doesn't that, like, kind of equate to Americana? Because isn't, like, aren't we the only country in the world that obsesses over bacon as much as we do?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, they have
whatever. Bacon's bomb.
I mean, no, bacon's cool. Bacon's beautiful. Don't trip. But you know, like I don't see them in Ecuador having bacon fest down there.
Do they even have bacon in Ecuador?
That's a good question. I don't know. They might. I don't know. But I know bacon is like everywhere here though. But anyway, yeah. Here we are, another week, another day, another episode to give y'all today. And we're going to do something a little bit different this week because we are, at this moment, today is the 22nd. So that means we are about 11 days away from WrestleMania 33. So this might be a little bit wrestling heavy the next couple of weeks, just to let you guys know. So what we're going to do today, we said that between now and next week, we're going to kind of talk about our top 10 WrestleManias. We've compiled a list, our own list, my list, and Danny has a list. And tonight in this episode, we're going to go through 10 through 6. And next week, we're going to do 5 all the way to the numero uno top WrestleMania on our list. Whatever, so we're gonna do that. But first, before we get into that, we gotta talk about some music. And no, it's not about Nicki Minaj and Remy Ma. That conversation has been put to rest until another day, if it ever resurrects. But we're gonna talk about something that happened this weekend. So after so many months, so many moons, so many days, and so many nights, the rumors were always swirling around when Drake was gonna drop his next project, his More Life project. Originally, it was rumored at first, at very, very first, that it was going to come out last summer, if you remember that. After Views came out, then all the word got around about how he has, like, mad work ready to come out. He could potentially put out another album. So it was originally talking about it was going to be the summer of 2016, but that never happened. And then it was a heavy rumor that it was going to drop in December, because that's when... It was Gambino that dropped, then Kid Cudi dropped, then next week J. Cole dropped, and then Drake was going to drop that last week of December. But everyone dropped but Drake, so that didn't happen, obviously. And then there were, like, you know, on and off, on again, off again, little swirls in the rumor mill going around saying that Drake was going to drop, like, you know, at the at, in the middle of January, then around Valentine's Day, but it never happened. But finally, finally, we all wake up this past Saturday morning. You know, we wake up, stretching. You know, got the morning breath going on, wiping the sleep out your eye and everything. You know what I mean? Waking up with that morning woody and all that stuff. And I'm sorry. and then you check your phone, and your phone says, "Drake, new life is available." Like, what? Okay. So, with all that being said, as you already know, the Drake New Life project did drop this past Saturday, and we are one of the co-hosts on this show. As y'all know, Mr. Danny Dang is one of the biggest Drake fans out there, and so I am very curious to get your take on this More Life project that came out. Mr. Dang, the floor is yours.
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much right now. I think Views is by far like his best work of all time.
Best of all time?
Yes.
Interesting.
More Life, it's... You know what gets me is I hate when people do like the Caribbean accents, and there's a lot of that in this.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't like it. It's different, like, if you're, like, Beanie Man, right? Because that's just how you are. Yeah. And that's how you talk.
Right.
But, like, when people, like, pretend to do it, like, I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's, like, him, like, just trying to do that because he wants to. Or, like, is he, like, taking jabs at Rihanna? Or, like, what's happening? I don't know. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, like, the biggest fan of that. I feel like a lot of the beats and melodies are just like ripoffs on like other music he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, the first song, what was it?
Oh, Free Smoke.
Free Smoke.
Yeah.
Like that sounds like, it sounds like another song.
Yeah, it does. Go ahead.
It almost sounds like Grammys.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I swear on everything. I'm like, the cadence in this sounds really familiar. And I think I did say Grammys at one point. But yeah, you're right.
Because
yeah.
It like started and it was like, and I was like, is this Grammys? Like that's 2.0 true. Or something?
Yeah, because it's like, free smoke. Da-na-na-na-na. Yeah, and then the same thing as Grammys. Anything I want a Grammy. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. And then he does like the normal Drake stuff where like he's got like super hard beats and then he's got like, you know, not so hard ones, which that's what you expect from Drake, right? Yeah. You're not going to expect like a full blown like hip hop album. You're going to get some of his singing in there, which just comes with him. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it. Like I said, it's a good album. I'm going to go like 7.5, 8 on there.
Okay.
I felt like for what we had to wait for, and we got that, I felt like it was just, he was like, oh, let's just like whatever we have, let's just put something together so like we can drop an album.
Right.
But I don't think he took, like, yes, it took a long time for it to release, but I don't think like he took enough time to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. I feel like it was, I feel like that it's like a Views like B-side.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, cause I think that's why, cause people are saying that it's actually a playlist, not necessarily an album, but it's a playlist. And I think that's a little bit, I guess that's going to be like a new thing, I think, where artists release playlists. And I think the reason why is because this album doesn't really have a one-set personality. It, like you said, it kind of does jump around and go all over the place a little bit. And I think that was like kind of like one of the issues that I had, because I like when albums have a personality. Like Views, like I couldn't tell you enough how much I love the production of Views. Like, I thought that was a perfectly produced album. The way how the tracks were laid down, just the way how like the tempo was, the mood that everything set in Views. You could tell that Drake was in a particular space, you know, in his a place in his life when he made that album, especially with the type of music that we got from it. Similar to how Sean, Big Sean, was in a different place in his life when he made Dark Sky Paradise versus I Decided. You know, he was in two different places in his life. And so with this, it just seems like if he is in a different place in his life, maybe he's a lot more, you know, like, I guess maybe he's a little bit better or whatever. But it's still like, you know, in terms of the personality album, it felt like it was kind of like all over the place in a way. Not saying it was bad, like from what I heard, because like, you know, when you if you listen to the tracks individually, like if they were all like, you know, just their own tracks, then, you know, like I could see like it being, you know, pretty good. I think there was like, and then another thing I didn't really care for was like just too much of jumping around when it came to what type of style we're talking about. You know, like I get that, like I'm not. Like when I go into a Drake project now, I know I'm not going to get the Drake from Take Care. I know I'm not going to get that. I'm going to get, you know, more of a refined, more of an evolved Drake that has gone more into like, you know, more of the R&B element, which is fine. You know, like I'm not gonna trip on that because I love R&B, so I'm cool with that. But like what you said though, this whole like West Indian shit that he's like really embraced, and I get that there's like a West Indian influence in Toronto, but it still is like, dog, go dial it back a little bit. Shit, god damn, like, you know, like I said, I get it's an influence up there, but I guess I think because it's so new still, and obviously it's new to you as well too, since you know what I'm saying, like, you know, you've been a lifelong fan. It's like I, you know, okay, you did it in Views. And like controller and whatnot, cool. Cause I looked at it like, okay, that's you acknowledging the West India roots in Toronto. Since that album was very Toronto heavy in terms of, you know, my city is officially on the map of hip hop. I got that and I appreciate it because that was you giving a nod to the West Indian culture. That's cool. I totally am for that. You know what I'm saying? But it was just so damn heavy in this one where I'm just like, are you completely crossing over your style now? You know, like completely crossing over because that was heavy.
We're gonna get like a Snoop Lion when he thought he when Snoop thought he was
Wait,
Bob Marley
yeah. Oh, it's a Jamaican
reincarnated.
shit, right? Exactly, man. So right, so you know, like that was my. That was my whole thing with it. I mean, there were a couple tracks that I was feeling like I was feeling that that what was it, Spectre or whatever. It was some type of interlude, but they used that Lil Wayne beat that Lil Wayne used in the Carter. What was the last Carter? Carter Four,
Four,
the last one.
four,
The last one he did was the car. Was it Four or
Carter
Four?
Four, yeah.
Yeah, the where he's like in that graduation suit when he's a little kid. The graduation cap and
Yeah, with
gown.
John, it had John on
Yeah,
there with
yeah.
Ross and all.
Yeah, that was a great album. But yeah, but the when he used that little interlude beat, he used that but he tweaked it. And I enjoyed that a lot in More Life. Free Smoke is cool. You know, I don't hate that. And I like the last track because I like that he's actually rapping. I can't remember the name of it right now, but I like that last track and he addressed a lot of shit. And you also notice that in Free Smoke, he goes into Tory Lanez like immediately. I'm like, dude, he's really like, kind of like leaning into this, into that war that's going on with him and Tory Lanez. But I mean, on Tory Lanez's side, he's not letting up either. So it's kind of like it probably will be one of those things where it'll just probably keep on going. But yeah, no. You know, like I don't hate it. I enjoyed it. I probably won't go back to it as frequently as I did with Views, because I went to Views a lot. I revisited the Views a whole lot, but and I revisited it with A Time to Be Alive a whole lot. But this one, maybe I'll save a track or two on my bars playlist. But keep it at that.
Did you like the Kanye song?
No. And not even and it's Kanye I didn't like. See, I don't know if that was even like if they did that project a long time ago or what, but I'm like, is Ye not feeling it? 'Cause I was not feeling that at all. I was not feeling that. You know I love me some Kanye. Cause when I saw Kanye
Yes, okay.
Cause when I saw Kanye was on there, I was like, "Oh!" Went right to it. Was not impressed. I'm like, "Freak!" And that was a hard. And that's a hard title too. It was called like oh shit. What's how it's got a kind of a dope name to it. Glow. I'm like, okay, glow. Okay, this could be hard. This could be kind of dope. This could be kind of fire. And it was not that at all.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at Kanye as like Kanye's kind of like taking a break from life right now, so things are kind of on pause with him right now. So I'm just like, we'll see when you come back, bro. When you're ready,
Sure.
I'll be ready. Did you hear that new Rick Ross, where he
Yeah, I actually listened to it today.
Okay, please tell me how that is, because I have not heard it yet.
It is not bad.
Yeah.
I like Rick Ross. Like,
Yeah.
Rick Ross is one of those dudes, like, I like where he came from and where he is now. People hate on Rick Ross all the time, right? They
Yeah.
all so many people hate on Rick Ross. Like, oh, he used to be a PO and now he raps about that. You're like, okay, like we get it.
Yeah.
He had a past life, but you know what? He's moved on from that. He's Rick Ross now. He plays a character, right? That's what he does.
Yeah, that's true.
I
That's true.
love his music. Always have, always will. I
Yeah.
don't care. He's live, he's entertaining. Like I've seen him live a couple times. Probably one of the best shows I've seen.
Nice.
He like the dude is just he's an entertainer is what he is.
Right.
He can spit like he's not lyrical by any means, but the things that he says, like you're just like, all right, like you took some time and thought about this,
Yeah,
you know?
right.
So he's got like wordplay that he's good with. Like he's an artist, right? So I like how Ross has he's gotten he's like a lot more he's evolved from like the old like his old school like woke up in a new Bugatti type of stuff
Yeah.
to like really like telling stories in his music, you know? So like a lot of his stuff is like a little bit more mellow and it's not like him like yelling, you know, but it's more of him like trying to tell stories, which I really, really enjoy. I only listened to probably about half of the album. I was listening to it when I was on my walk today,
Yeah.
but I'd like to go back and listen to it again all the way through just to see it. But like I said, I enjoyed it. So
Dope, dope. He got a track on there where he disses Birdman, right?
I think so. I honestly, I just kind of threw it on and wasn't really paying attention to it.
Yeah.
I more threw it on just to get a feel for it. But I'll sit down again and actually like pay attention to.
Yeah. I'm gonna check it out tomorrow. I meant to listen to it today, but I just like completely forgot to check it out. That's the one thing about Ross is that I would say he probably is like the best person in hip hop right now when it comes to picking beats. Like, no one knows how to pick beats better than him. Maybe Wayne does. Probably maybe Puff, but like Ross knows. Like seriously, when I listen to his shit, I'm like, to me, I'm like, he's picking the beats that I would want to hear. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's
Yeah,
picking those.
He's got that unique, like, when you listen to the song, like, you're like, this is a Rick Ross song.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it all fits him. Like, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's like a hard beat or a soft beat. Like, it fits
right.
His personality.
Justice League is like, has to be like the best producers he's ever worked with. And like whenever he links up with Justice League, they create magic. They just create something that's like, that's untouchable. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like, and that's what I'm talking about. It's like, he picks the beats where I'm like, this is exactly what I want to hear when I'm driving and it's nice out and I got the windows down, I got the roof open or whatever, and I want to feel like, you know what I'm saying, like I'm on some heavy shit right now, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. He makes music for Miami, man.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, exactly. It's like the beats, he knows how to pick beats, and that's why whenever I go into a Ross project, I'm like, I know I'm gonna enjoy this. Like, I've not really listened to too many. I mean, there was a few things here and there where I was like, I'm straight, I'm good. But I'm talking about from the rip when we first got introduced to this brother back in 06 with Push It to the Limit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, ooh, he was a Scarface beat.
Dude, Port of Miami was a great album.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Dude, that was his debut, right?
Yeah. They Push It to the Limit.
Yeah.
Hustling.
Every day I'm hustling. Yeah.
Where My Money. You remember that one? Where my money? I need cash.
Yeah!
And I know Brady's laughing right now because he loves that song.
Oh, yeah? That's what's up. Yeah, man. Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, he puts out some hard shit, some bangers, man. So, yeah so I'm a holler at that when I get a chance tomorrow and see what the demo is. All right, then. So
yeah, and then you got like Blair, who's like, did MMG just fall off? No, fool, they've been there. You just suck at listening to music.
I'm like, I saw that.
Did post. You see my comment on there?
I saw your comment. I was like, dude, do you fucking pay attention? Do you pay attention? And
clearly
you call yourself
not.
A fan?
He lives in like Podunkville, Virginia. Get out of here. I hope he listens to our show.
Fucking Blair, man. I swear, I think sometimes he just be... You know, it's like, he hasn't really been that active in a while.
Yeah.
So first of all, when I saw that he posted in the group, I'm like, okay, first of all, where the hell have you been at?
Right.
Second of all, you're back to your original shit where you just would say just dumb shit. Just to get a reaction from motherfuckers, and you know, because remember he used to do that shit all the time, where he would say the most like either the most obvious stuff, or the most just oblivious shit, where you're like, where'd that even come from, bro?
Yeah. No, I feel you on that. I'm just like, I don't know, man.
It's so funny how it's like you two are like such enemies, but like y'all have like so much in common because both y'all love the Redskins. Both you know, he claimed he like MMG, but you know what I'm saying? Both y'all love MMG. You know what I'm saying? Both y'all love the Capitals.
He doesn't like MMG. He likes Meek Mill.
Oh, okay.
Which is the mistake right there.
I thought he was a Wale fan.
He's not a Wale. The fact that he didn't know that Wale has released two songs in the last 2 months and is on tour right now, he's not a Wale fan.
True.
I'm sorry.
Good point. True. Oh man, that's hilarious though. Fucking Blair.
Get out of here.
Shout out to Blair for listening.
No, not at all. That's for Maurice. I don't shout you out at all. I'm straight on that.
Oh man. Alright, so you wanna jump into this G?
Yeah.
Alright, cool. Alright, so it is WrestleMania season upon us, and bro, I know you're not looking forward to it, man. But are you still like that right now? Like, are you still even like has the needle moved any more
nope.
for you?
Nope. Not I don't care at all.
Man, That's the change on next Sunday when you wake up.
I mean, I'm going to wake up, you know, put an Alexa Bliss shirt on and go watch WrestleMania, but I just, I don't know, man. I'm just so not invested in it this year.
Where are you watching it at?
I think I'm going to Lucky Strike, which is, you guys have Lucky Strike, don't you?
Oh, the bowling alley?
Yeah.
The bowling alley?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, they're showing it there?
Yeah, they, there's, so the wrestling group here that is trying to, legalize wrestling in the state of Washington, they mm-hmm. always put, they put a show on for, usually the Big Four. Okay. At Lucky Strike.
Oh, dope. For real?
Yeah. Okay. And so, Nicholas and Martha, Martha knows, like, the general manager of Lucky Strike here, and so he's getting us a table.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was, like, my... Because either that or I was going to just stay home and watch it. I was like, I'll go if I can get, like... If I can guarantee that I'm going to sit in front of a TV
yeah.
and not have to, like, sit behind people.
Right,
and
right.
And so on Sunday, or, yeah, yeah, on Sunday was our the Sounders home opener. And Nicholas, and Martha was with Nicholas. And so we were talking, I was like, you know, I was talking to Nicholas about where he's watching Mania. And he was like, I don't know. And then I was like, oh, we should go to Lucky Strike. And then I was like, I'm trying to get a table. And then Martha was like, oh, let me hit up my homie. And then it was like, yep, you guys are good.
Nice, nice, nice.
So I'll probably do that.
Cool. Now, y'all are in, like, a good position, though, because WrestleMania's going to be long as hell. So you want to make sure you're comfortable and shit. That's going to be a long show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it says 4 o'clock starts. It's 4 for me, 6 for you.
Yeah, but are you watching the, are you fucking
well,
with
the pre-show? And all. Yeah, of course.
You know, pre-show's like 2 hours.
Yeah, but it's more talking than anything, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't watched SmackDown yet either, so I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah. Just make sure you're good, man. Only because, like, I know me, because the thing is, like, I know how you are when it comes to wrestling. Like, especially, like, you know, pay-per-views. You like to be in a control situation where you can just enjoy the show without, like, you know, saying motherfuckers, like, you know, getting on your nerves. Because WrestleMania is so goddamn long, and because y'all gonna be at a public spot, you know what I mean? So, I'm just saying, like, you know what I'm saying, like, I just don't want you being like, man, Pete, I'm out of this motherfucker, man, fuck y'all, I'm leaving, you know what I'm saying?
Just because the last time I went to watch WrestleMania at Lucky Strike was 30.
Yeah.
And I was, like, the only person in there that wanted Brock Lesnar to beat The Undertaker. And when it happened, it was like, like Lucky Strike, right? Like a big bar, like huge bowling alley.
Right, right.
It was like dead silent. And I just stood up and I was like, and I had a Brock Lesnar shirt on. And I just go, who called it, baby? And everyone's just like looking at me. And I'm like, yeah, y'all just be angry. I was like, I told y'all it was going to happen.
Dude, for real, man. I already told you the story, like, because I was there for it. And I was shocked when it happened. I was shocked. I was stone shocked when it happened. But then because, like, you, because I went into it like, this is it. This is it, man. And I even put on the mid-card match long, like, weeks before, I said 21-1. Got mad heat for it. But then when it dawned on me that actually happened, I stood up and I started doing a slow clap. I started looking at the people behind me. They were so fucking mad. I was like, I told y'all that was going to happen. You can't beat the beast, baby. You can't beat the beast.
Unless you're Goldberg.
Dude, I still cannot get out of my mind what you said last week about his ass. He could be winning. I cannot get that out of my head, bro.
Watch it happen, dude.
Cause even like when I was watching that package on Sunday on Monday night, that whole Goldberg package, I was like, when they started off with his kid and his wife, I'm like, his kid has not seen him win a WrestleMania match. And that's probably, like, the last thing Goldberg wants. is to watch his kid, watch him win and retain a world championship at a Wrestle fucking Mania. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? And dude, how when is he gonna drop the belt? When, if not Mania?
I have no idea. The night after, maybe.
And don't, if it's the night after, don't tell me it's gonna be on some bullshit where he gives a farewell speech and hands the belt over.
Yeah, it better not be that.
Oh my god, I will freak.
I don't know, like, what, I don't know what happens. Does someone interfere and then, like, he wins? Or, like, I have no idea what they're going to do. I guess that's the one thing that's kind of nice about this Mania is I don't really know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, sometimes you can kind of figure it out, but then it's like, well, who knows?
Right. Because another thing to think about is, are they even going to have a match? This motherfucker's not has had a full match since he's been back.
Yeah.
He hasn't.
Nope.
So it's like,
it's been like 4 months.
Right. 4 months, two matches, one Royal Rumble. The two matches have been squashes. And the how long was he in the Rumble for?
I don't know. Maybe 5 minutes. Maybe 5 minutes.
Five minutes in the Rumble. You know, like, that's what I was thinking to myself. Like, Brock can have a really good long match. Goldberg can't. Man,
God, I don't know.
Anyway,
I've never been a Goldberg guy, so ever.
It was cool seeing him come back. Like that first night on Raw, that was fun. Hearing the music, watching him do the walk, that was fun. After that, I was over it. I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, I didn't even get that far. I wasn't a WCW guy. I never was. Yeah. So, like, it just, any, like even when Sting showed up, I was just kind of like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really care at all.
Wait, so you weren't even invested in Sting versus NWO back in the 90s?
Nope. Mm. Because I didn't watch WCW. I literally was the, I'm WWF forever, and it doesn't matter. Like, that's it. That's it, and that's all. Mm. Yep, I never broke from that. You know me, man. I'm a freaking Sounders season ticket holder, and I won't buy a jersey because it says Xbox on it.
True. Didn't you get one the other day?
I did buy the jersey though because it has the championship star on there. I'll never wear it.
Oh. Yeah, because that's what you posted the other day, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking about just framing it.
That'd be dope.
Yeah. Because, so in the MLS, when you win the championship, then you get a star on your jersey. Mm-hmm. And then, like, every championship you win, like, they just keep adding stars onto your logo.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, so, like, LA has, like, 6 stars.
I'm going to ask you, who has the most stars?
I think LA has the most. Yeah, they got stars, like, on top, on the bottom, like, all over the place. Jeez. Yeah, but it looks dope, so... You know, it's our first championship, so I had to.
Did they win most of them with David Beckham?
Possibly. I don't know. I hate LA. But
that's good shit. Are y'all undefeated so far?
No, we're 1-1-1.
Oh, but y'all won on Saturday, though, right?
Yeah, we won our first game, our first home game, which was nice. We lost Sunday. Yeah, we lost the first one, we tied the second one, and then we won on Sunday. So
good shit.
Good shit. We needed it.
Yeah, I mean, shit. I mean, if you're gonna win your first game, like, have it be at home, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if last year taught us anything, though, it doesn't really matter.
Oh yeah, because y'all were kind of low in the middle, right?
We were 10th. In the division. That's last place. That's where Chicago stays. True. So, like, I was like, we're done. This is over. Great season. Yeah. Not. And then we won the championship. So, there you go. Go figure.
Nice. Have you ever watched that show? It's called, like, Rod... Rob ruins everything or Tom ruins everything or some shit like that.
Mm-mm.
It comes on the true TV channel.
Mm-mm.
It's about this guy who goes really deep into actual facts on things that we all know about on the surface.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like it goes into real facts about drugs or having the hangover or just regular shit. So he did a thing the other night where it was Rob ruins everything about sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to this whole thing about how the numbers actually prove that the team that wins their league's championship are not the best team in the league, and here's why. And so he breaks it down completely. It's like a whole flow chart of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And really shows the numbers and how just from a numbers perspective about right. Just because they won the championship that year does not mean that they were the best team in the league that year or whatever. So because you said what you said right now in terms of where you guys were, how y'all were in 10th place, but then you guys were able to eventually win the championship, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of proved his point in terms of the best team doesn't necessarily win the championship because when you get to the playoffs, everyone's kind of playing at equal level, and right. Now it's kind of a game of chance, basically.
Right. Just because... you look at the Warriors.
Right.
Right. They were 73-9 or whatever.
Yeah. They 73-9. Yeah.
And they lost the championship. Right. So they technically were the best team in the league.
Yeah. Being up 3-1.
Yeah.
2 as well. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
Warriors with a 3-1 lead.
It makes sense. You know, the best team may not always win. It's the best team at that time, right? Because
right,
you know, you just happen to play good.
Yeah,
dude, this game's over, bro. It's 6-0.
It's 6-0 now. Cause yeah. I turned to the Knicks game.
Oh yeah, it's over.
What inning are they in?
Top of the 7th.
Ugh. Come on, Puerto Rico! Hey, come on now. It's over with. You're right.
And this, I just saw some dude wearing a Mexico hat holding an American flag.
Oh, he was wearing the sombrero?
No, he was wearing a Mexico baseball hat.
Oh.
Oh my goodness. See, that those type of people piss me off.
He in the middle somewhere. But with that said, let us begin the countdown. Hold on. It's that time of year again. It is time for the granddaddy of them all. The spectacle. The pageantry. It is time for WrestleMania.
old wrestling theme music is so terrible.
It screams 80s.
And all the generic music is so bad.
Oh man, have you ever I swear it's like when you watch the old wrestling shows, the old wrestling pay per views.
Yeah,
you listen to the entrance themes. It's like you could tell it's the same guy playing every song that's coming out.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's just I don't know. And then you got Vince McMahon screaming, and it's like. Bro, it's not that serious right now. You just need to chill. You're gonna be all right.
Oh man, and that's when I hear that song though, it's like, man, that takes me back.
Yeah,
it's,
sure.
It's so old school, man. It's like, man, that takes me back, G, for real.
No, I feel you.
Oh man. All right, so we're doing our top 10. WrestleManias. We're gonna start from 10, and we're gonna do 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 tonight. for this episode, and then we'll conclude with the rest of the list next week. So just a heads up for anyone that listens to this podcast as part of the mid-card mess. I'm not sure. Danny, you know I every year I always do my little WrestleMania countdown thing.
Mm.
So this year what I'm doing in the mid-card mess is I ranked all 32 WrestleManias in order from worst to best. And so every day for the past X amount of weeks or whatever I've been doing this for, I've been doing like one a day kind of countdown, going from the worst one to the best one. Today I posted number 11. Today was number 11. My number 11 one was WrestleMania 3. So tomorrow on Thursday the 23rd will be my number 10 that I'm doing for the group.
Mm.
So is anyone who's listening to this as part of the group, you guys are gonna know my top 10 before anyone else does, basically. So just kind of give y'all a heads up and everything. All right, but I'll start. So for my number 10 pick, real quick, 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wait, hold on. Okay, all right. Mike, wait, where's 10? For my number 10 pick, this one was actually mentioned a little bit ago, not too long ago. This one is WrestleMania 30, live from New Orleans, which will take place, which WrestleMania 34 will take place at next year. Which me and Mr. Dang Dang will be live in attendance at, and we are going to turn that motherfucker around. But WrestleMania 30 though was a, to me, great deal. I mean, that was that mania was a really big deal. And what was really cool about seeing that mania was that it really was like tailor made, I feel, for Daniel Bryan in a lot of ways. It, you can kind of say arguably this may have started a few years prior to when WrestleMania was in Miami, and Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus for the World Championship, and the match ended in what was like 12 seconds or whatever it was.
Yeah, because they messed up.
They messed up. How?
It was supposed to be the shortest match, right? But what happened was so the ref rang the bell. AJ was on the apron. She kissed Daniel Bryan. He turned around, gets bro kicked. 1, 2, 3.
Right.
It was supposed to be Daniel Bryan, AJ kiss, turn around, ring the bell, bro kick. Oh. 1, 2, 3. So they screwed up. They rang the bell too early.
Too early, yeah.
And so it didn't actually become the shortest match in history.
Gotcha. Wow.
Yeah.
It went about like probably like 15 seconds or so. And surprisingly, to people who may not know, there have been matches in WrestleMania even that went a lot shorter than that. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to break the record pretty much.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
Damn. That's crazy. So, I mean, arguably you could say it probably all started then, and then you kind of saw D-Bry, turn things around. He had the Yes Movement, which happened and became like, it became larger than life, it became huge. And, for D-Bry to be able to get to the point of reaching the pinnacle of his career, not only did he go through the main event, but before that he had to go through a half hour with Triple H in the ring. He beats Triple H at the opening of the event. He comes back to do a three-way dance with both Randy Orton and Batista in a no DQ match, and he wins the world championship when he made the Batista submit to the Yes Lock. So, and then the huge celebration that took place at the very end, with the purple streamers that was all coming down and everything, really did showcase that Daniel Bryan was actually on top of the world and was the best of it all. This is the same WrestleMania where Brock Lesnar defeated The Undertaker and broke his WrestleMania streak, where Undertaker went in 21-0, he left 21-1, and Brock Lesnar became the one behind the man who is the one to defeat the Undertaker. So I mean, that's a moment that never will be, that can never be paralleled, I think, in the history of wrestling for, you know, as we go on. In addition, it was, you know, Cesaro wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. John Cena beat Bray Wyatt. You know, the likes of Scott Hall, Jake Roberts, Ultimate Warrior going to the Hall of Fame. And sadly, 2 days later, the Ultimate Warrior passes away. You know, the Ultimate Warrior is inducted into the Hall of Fame that weekend in New Orleans. He comes out on Monday Night Raw the next night and addresses the crowd for the very last time. Unbeknownst to us, it will be the last time, because the next day he passed away, and it was one of the most shocking things happening that week, especially with that week, because we had both Undertaker losing and the Ultimate Warrior dying. It was like, it was too much emotion happening in all in just a span of 3 days. It was just crazy. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm really excited about WrestleMania coming back to New Orleans next year, because being in New Orleans, it just felt like, I mean, just the energy was just right. Everything was so centralized in the French quarters, especially on Bourbon Street. It was a very alive feeling, where everywhere you're going on Bourbon Street, you were running into wrestling fans everywhere, and just that energy, that atmosphere, it was just amazing being there. And we're gonna have it again next year as well too. So it was a great place. I have that number 10 because, you know, nothing, there was nothing really wrong with it per se, but it's just kind of like when you talk about the upper echelon of WrestleMania events, it's really hard to kind of place them, you know what I'm saying? But this one kind of falls in my number 10 though. So yeah, number 10 is WrestleMania 30 for me.
Okay. My number 10 is completely different than what anyone would ever say. Surprisingly enough, WrestleMania 9 ranks in my top 10 and is my number 10.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Oh man, you ain't never lied, dude.
Because WrestleMania 9 is basically considered like one of the worst WrestleManias ever.
Yeah, everyone hates that one. All right,
Everyone hates it. The reason that it's my number 10 though is because it's the first WrestleMania I remember watching live. So it has nothing to do with the card. It's more of a memory for me than anything. Gotcha. Because I remember being a little kid watching it, and we were at my dad's friend's house, and I just remember like, you know, we were watching WrestleMania, and it didn't really like ever really click to me what WrestleMania was, right? As a child, like, you always knew it was big, but I never knew like the real grandeur of it. Yeah. And so the fact that they were at Caesar Palace and they had like a toga party and everyone was dressed up, you know, and you had, you know, Finkus Maximus as the announcer, and, you know, mm-hmm. Cleopatra was there, and Bobby Heenan comes out on an elephant, you know, like, I got to see that and was just like, oh crap, like, this is kind of crazy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like as a kid, you know, I didn't really know like what was watching. Like, I knew I liked wrestling because like I liked the characters, you know, I was rooting for the guys that I liked, but you never really, you know, I never as a kid never even would imagine that I would travel to watch wrestling, you know, to go to WrestleMania. And I just remember like sitting there watching and I'm like, man, like this is kind of crazy right now. Right. You know, and I look back at it and I watch WrestleMania 9. I just watched it the other day, actually. And, like, I look at it and I'm like, man, Bret Hart got screwed over. Because Bret Hart was my favorite, right, growing up.
Oh, yeah. Hell
and so,
yeah.
Like, I'm sitting there pissed because Bret Hart just loses to Yokozuna on a cheat, right? He gets, like, sand thrown in his eyes, Mr. Yeah. Fuji. And you're like, oh, my goodness, right? So he loses. I'm all pissed. And then, like, the worst thing could happen after that. Hulk Hogan comes out and he beats Yokozuna, and I hate Hulk Hogan, and I'm like, what just happened? Like, I was like, that didn't just happen right now.
Yeah.
So I just remember like how pissed I was, but like that's the first time I remember being like emotionally invested in like watching wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, so that for me holds deep for me, because it's like, that kind of like sparked like a different passion in wrestling. But then I look back at it and I'm like, you know what? Like Shawn Michaels Tatanka was pretty good.
That was a good match.
You know, yeah,
that was a good match.
That was a decent match. And then like, but then you look back and then just like everything else is kind of like, I think the Steiners Head Shrinkers was a pretty good match. Mm-hmm. But then you have like Razor Ramon, Bob Backlund, not so hot. Undertaker, John Gonzalez, not so hot.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, so then you had a whole other slew of issues. I personally really enjoyed the Money Inc. against Brutus Mega Beefcake Man. And Hogan. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's when Hogan got beat up at outside of the gym because Money Inc. like hired someone to destroy him, but like I look back at it now and I'm like, was he really messed up? Like his eye is super jacked up.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, did they like actually hit him to do this, or like, what was happening? Mm-hmm. But yeah, WrestleMania 9, dude. Believe it or not, it's my top 10.
Damn, I'm surprised, man. Because yeah, just like what we said earlier, that's like the most hated WrestleMania by everyone. But you know what's crazy is that like your nostalgia, like I share that with you as well too. Because I started watching wrestling August of 92. And WrestleMania 9 was actually my first WrestleMania to, like, be a fan while it was on. I didn't watch it because I didn't have cable, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I watched it the next day because a buddy of mine taped it. And he let me borrow the tape. And I'm telling you, I watched that tape over and over and over. And I wore that motherfucker out, bro. So, in terms of nostalgia, I totally feel you on that. Because that's, like, one of those, you go back to your childhood. Remembering how you were feeling, you know, like with that one. So I feel you on that though. When did you start? What year you started watching?
I can't even tell you like the pinpoint year that I started watching wrestling because, I mean, because I was at let's see, it was definitely, it was probably late, super late 80s, early 90s.
Okay,
for sure.
Okay, I got you. But WrestleMania 9 was like your first, like you actually
that I remember it. That I remember watching.
Okay,
that I actually remember sitting down and watching, like because I have like vivid memories of watching WrestleMania 9.
Gotcha. Y'all ordered it?
We were at my dad's friend's house.
Okay.
Yeah, so like one of his friends ordered it. So I remember just being a kid and sitting down and just watching it. Like, man, this is super dope. You know, because I remember going to like events and stuff, but they were all like small house shows from what I can remember. And so I know. So I was just like, OK, never anything like on that big of a scale to see. Because the first big scale show I went to was Survivor Series 95.
Oh, wait, 95. That was
Bret Hart and Diesel,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You were there?
Yeah, because it was in Maryland.
Holy shit, I didn't know you were there.
Yeah.
Nice, man.
Yep.
So you marked that one, Bret won.
Oh, dude, I lost my voice.
Yeah.
I remember losing my voice, and then we came home, and my mom was like, why were you yelling? I'm like, Bret Hart won. What do you mean, why was I yelling? I was like, he tied his foot with a cable to the turnbuckle. It was crazy.
It's like, what the hell happened to you? Dope. All right, well, that goes on to our number 9. And number 9 is in close proximity to Mr. Dang's pick. My number 9 is going to be WrestleMania 10.
Ooh.
WrestleMania 10. Live from Madison Square Garden in New York. This is the 10th anniversary of WrestleMania, obviously. They brought it back to where it all started at Madison Square Garden, which is it was like holy ground for all wrestling fans, you know, in terms of wrestling and whatnot. This is a very unique event because, as many of you guys know, when you win the Royal Rumble, the winner of the Royal Rumble goes on to WrestleMania to wrestle whomever the champion is. However, since there were two winners at this past Royal Rumble in 1994... they had to kind of do something very unique where they split up the championship match situation. Because that both Lex Luger and Bret Hart won the Royal Rumble, And due to a coin toss, Lex Luger would get the very first championship match against Yokozuna. And Brett would then wrestle the winner of that match. However, to kind of even out the playing field to ensure that all parties who will be included in that second match will be wrestling twice that night, Brett had to wrestle his brother at the top of the show, Owen Hart. And thank God that's what happened, because Brett and Owen put on a freaking clinic. They gave us a classic match. And I think it was cool, because I think that was kind of like Brett's way of saying, like, you know, we're going to take advantage of this opportunity to use this platform to show you, Owen, that you are damn good, and they need to understand that you are really good. And they did the damn thing, and they gave us a freaking amazing match. WrestleMania 10 was great overall. I mean, like, you know, Brett and Owen still had a great match. Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon absolutely sealed the show with the ladder match for the IC Championship belt. Even Macho Man in his very last WrestleMania appearance, he had a street fight or a False Count Anywhere match against Crush, and it was pretty entertaining. Lex Luger wrestled Yokozuna but was disqualified, and the main event itself of the event was Bret Hart against Yokozuna, and Bret Hart beats Yokozuna to get retribution for losing to him a year before to win back the WWF Championship belt. And it was just really good. You know, whenever you have an event in Madison Square Garden, overall, it's always going to be a really good feeling, a really great vibe, a really great environment being with that New York crowd. And, you know, this was no exception. It was absolutely tremendous being able to see this. And, like, since we're talking about nostalgia, it takes me back to, like, when I was a kid watching this at my friend's house, and it's us freaking out. Because, I mean, like, I think that it wasn't even like in our realm of possibility that Brett could beat Yokozuna to be champion, because we've gone through so long of seeing Yokozuna just crush every person put in front of him. So to us, it was just kind of like, all right, well, how is Yokozuna gonna walk out champion? But then we see when he went for the bonsai drop and he missed the bonsai drop and Brett pins him, it was like time stood still. Like, what? And he became the world champion again. So, WrestleMania 10 falls at my number 9. Number 9 is WrestleMania 10.
Nice. My number 9 is WrestleMania 31. Nice. For a couple reasons. The first reason is because it's the first one I attended live. I remember I didn't go to 30 because my cousin Chris was getting married that year, and like, oh, wow. I had spent like a lot of my money on going to his bachelor party. So,
oh, was that when y'all were in Mexico?
Yeah, that was our first Mexico trip.
Nice.
So, because I was just out of college and like, just got a job type of thing, you know? So, so I was like, all right, I don't have that much money yet. And like, you know, my buddies were going and they were like, you got to come to WrestleMania. And I was like, you know, not, I can't go this year. I'll for sure go next year.
Right.
And so I remember I had enough money saved up and we ended up getting tickets. And I just remember, I think the best thing for me was when I walked over to a Ticketmaster by my house when they had Ticketmaster outlets. And I remember walking in the day that Access tickets went on sale. And I bought tickets to meet Bret Hart and to meet Ric Flair. And I remember like buying them and then sitting in my car afterwards. And I was like, holy crap. Like, what did I just do? Like, and I'm sitting there looking at my tickets and I was like, I'm really gonna meet Ric Flair and like Bret Hart, like, right. You know, just like that. And literally it's like stuff that you could only dream of as a child, you know?
Yeah.
And then like that was kind of one of those like, oh, it's like, you know, like you made, like as stupid as it sounds to people who don't watch wrestling, like that was one of those like you made it moments for me. And it was like, you know, and I was just like, man, like I don't know what I did, but like I know I worked my ass off and I'm here and like I'm living like a dream of mine.
Hell yeah.
You know, so I remember that, and then we get there, and I remember getting off the plane in San Jose, and San Jose Airport is super small. And,
oh, really?
And we get there. Well, I got there. I got there early because I was staying with a friend and his wife who lived down there. And so I remember getting there a couple days earlier than everyone else was. And I get off the plane and walking through the terminal, and I walk out and I just see this huge table with a Brock Lesnar cutout. And there's this dude just sitting at the table, and I had a Brock Lesnar shirt on. And he just looks at me and he goes, you going to WrestleMania? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to WrestleMania. And it was just like this concierge guy that was just sitting there, like, greeting people.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, they really, like, hired some dude to sit at a table to greet people getting off the plane going to WrestleMania. I was like, that is the craziest thing ever. And, like, dude gave me, like, a map, and he was like, all right, here you go. Like, these are all the train stations that you could take, bus routes. All the events are going to be at this place, this place, this place, you know. And I was just like, man, like, this is, like, no joke. They, like, really take care of you, you know. And I was like, all right, like, I could get down on this. So I just remember, like, walking around and, like, all of the banners everywhere, buses everywhere, all had ads for WrestleMania. All the streetlights had WrestleMania banners on them. And I was just like, oh my goodness, like, this is going to be so crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I did NXT. So that was like the first big NXT show, right?
Yeah, that was the first time they did NXT, like, like that way, right?
Yeah, yeah, but it wasn't a takeover because that wasn't a thing.
True, true, true. You're right. Never mind. Go ahead.
You know, and so, like, it wasn't televised or anything like that. It literally was just like an NXT house show during WrestleMania weekend. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was the night that, like, Hideo Itami did his GTS for the first time in WWE. And, like, he hit it on Tyler Breeze. And I just, I remember, like, losing my voice during that match. And it was the first match of the night.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, this is unreal. And then I just remember, like, halfway during that Triple H comes out. And he's just like, he was like, I need everyone to know right now that, like, Shawn Michaels is in the back. Stephanie McMahon's in the back. Vince McMahon's in the back. Seth Rollins is back there. Like, and they're all watching this right now. Like, we got something, and it's happening. You know, it was like before NXT was super big. Like, they still had Charlotte, Bayley. Who else was still there? Sasha Banks was still there.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, it was pretty Sami big. Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens had just showed up.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, it was getting kind of crazy. And so I remember doing that, and I was just like, man, that's so dope. And then I remember, I'm sure I've talked about it on the show before, where I have this thing about when I go to wrestling shows, I don't look at the ring until I'm ready.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off, cause I'm going to walk into this stadium. Right. And I just remember telling my buddy, and I was like, all right, man, like, I'm just going to start staring the other way and, like, just not looking at the set or anything. And he's like, all right, yeah. And then, I remember, like, we went and got, like, drinks, and then I was like, all right, I'm ready. And I remember walking through the concourse and just looking out and, like, seeing the set and all. And I remember going to our seats and, like, sitting down, and, like, we were, like, 200 level club on the 50, right? So we were, like, right in the middle.
Nice.
And I just remember, like, just taking it in, and I was like, dude, I'm, like, at WrestleMania right now. And, like, I just remember how I felt. And then, like, I almost got in a fight right when I sat down.
Wait, what? You ain't talking about that?
There was this guy that was, like, what super happened? Drunk. And he, like, sat down. He, like, ripped his pants, like, right as he sat down. And, like, it wasn't, like, a little tear. It was, like, bro, like, your booty is hanging out. Like, you just need to sit down for the whole night. Like, just don't. And then, like, so his girl had, like, a Bray Wyatt sign, and, like, she kept holding it up during Undertaker's entrance, and I started yelling at her,
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I was like, one of the only reasons I'm here is to freaking see The Undertaker come out.
Right,
like,
right.
I'm like, put your sign down. And this guy like turns around and he like looks at me and I'm like, you really want to do this right now, bro?
Right, exactly.
You know, and then he just kind of sat down. I was like, no, we're not doing this. It's not happening.
With his dirty ass draw showing the shit.
I know. Bam. I know. So I was like, all right, whatever. But, yeah, just being at my first WrestleMania, I thought it was super awesome. I remember watching the main event. It was Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns for the title.
Yeah.
And I remember being really antsy the whole time. Because, like, part of me was like, dude, Seth Rollins is totally going to run out. Right? And I'm just sitting there. And I just remember it was getting dark. And I just remember, like, I just kept looking over at the entrance. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And the whole night I was like calling stuff kind of because like during the Triple H Sting match, and then I looked over at my buddy and I was like, dude, how crazy would it be if like NWO walked out, you know? And it was just like all and then DX walks out and then NWO, and I was like, oh my goodness, like what were we just talking about that? So like I just had this hunch that Seth Rollins was going to come out. And, like, I remember just sitting there watching. I wasn't even sitting. I was, like, standing up the whole time watching it. Yeah. And I just remember it was, like, all quiet. And then you just hear, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I was like, Seth Rollins. And that ramp was hella long.
Yeah, yeah.
I just remember him running down there, like, sliding into the ring and just, like, going ham on everyone. I remember freaking out. I was like, that was the craziest thing ever. I just thought it was so great. And then, like, Rock came out with Ronda Rousey, who I don't care about, but that was kind of cool. It was cool because it was my first one. I kind of just soaked it all in. Again, like, my 10 and 9 is just because it's, like, a nostalgia thing.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And, you know, the thing with WrestleMania 31, too, like, I enjoy 31. Like, that's a fun one. I think I'm going to watch that tonight or tomorrow, probably, because that's just a fun WrestleMania to watch, man. And, you know, like, because that one, that was actually my WrestleMania from yesterday. That was number 12 on my list. Because I just remember, like, everything felt so large. You know, Triple H's entrance with the whole Terminator gimmick. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Rusev coming out on that tank.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Of course, Seth Rollins, you know, stealing the show, you know, with cashing in. And the thing is, the cashing happened during the match.
Right. It wasn't after.
Right.
Was it like no one was like super hurt yet? It was like, nah, I'm just going to destroy your own match that you're in right now.
Right, right. So even like, even though like you called it, but still, it had to be a surprise hearing that music hit during the match because we've never seen a cash-in happen during a match.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that right there had to be just, like, completely just, like, you know, pulling the rug up from underneath your feet kind of situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, where you're like, oh, my God, what the fuck is going on? Like, holy shit, this is great. So, yeah, no, that's a fun one to watch. I like watching that one again. Going on to number 8, though. My number 8 is WrestleMania 12. That one took place in 96 at Anaheim at the Pond. And that one is known for the 1 hour Iron Man match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels for the WWE Championship belt. And you know what's crazy is that during this whole countdown thing I've been doing, I kind of talked about how Bret and Shawn's rivalry, I think, you know, not only is it probably, like, you know, arguably the greatest rivalry in wrestling history, but one thing that people don't really, like, pay too much attention to is, like, how parallel their careers in WWF really were. You know, even though Bret came into the WWF way before Shawn did, because Bret's first WrestleMania was WrestleMania 2, where Shawn's was WrestleMania 5. But even, like, you know, when you look at their careers on paper, though, you see a lot of parallels, like, you know, with them both of them, you know, were in tag teams, mm-hmm. you know, both, Bret broke away from the Hart Foundation probably like a little under a year before Shawn did. Bret, you know, then went after the, he went after the IC Championship belt after he broke away from, from the Hart Foundation. Shawn did the same thing when he broke away from the Rockers. He went after the IC Championship belt. They you know, they both were kind of like, you know, like the top of the mid cards and all. Shawn introduced the ladder match to the WWF with Bret Hart as his opponent. You know what I'm saying? So, like, mm-hmm. you know, if, so, I mean, so, like, that, the ladder match of which Shawn kind of, like, you know, brought to the WWF, you know, was introduced with Bret Hart. Soon, Bret Hart would then go become the world champion. You know, then Shawn would become the world champion shortly after, you know, him. And that's what I'm saying, like, you know, and it kind of came down to, like, you know, where they are at WrestleMania 12. Because at WrestleMania 12, Bret Hart was already a, I believe, a... I might get it wrong. Either a 2 or 3 time champion, where Shawn, you know, like had not had it yet, but they were definitely at a crossroads, you know, in terms of where they were in their careers and whatnot. And then when you look on the back end of their careers as well, too, look where they kind of ended everything at. WrestleMania 26, that was in Phoenix, Bret Hart would have his very, very final match against Vince McMahon, and Shawn Michaels would have his final match against The Undertaker. So, I mean, so. With WrestleMania 12 being the Iron Man match for the WWE Championship, really was an appropriate time because they were both at their peak conditions, and they gave us arguably one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time that went the entire hour with not a pinfall or a submission happening. It was forced to go into sudden death overtime. Depending if you're a Bret Hart fan or a Shawn Michaels fan, it was either fair the way how they restarted the match, you know, with both men being neutral. Or, you know, if you're on the other side, you said, you know, if they're going to restart the match, then it should have been Shawn already being the sharpshooter then, the way how it was when, you know, during regulation. But that's all subjective, though, and that's all a conversation that, you know, people are always going to have and whatever, which ended with Shawn Michaels defeating Bret Hart to win the title and all. But other matches that we saw that night, though, besides that, we saw some good wrestling with you know, with Undertaker and Diesel, Undertaker continuing his streak. We saw Roddy White Piper and Goldust having the Hollywood Backlot Brawl. Fight. Yeah, the street fight that led back to the ring. You know, so they had their moment. We saw the return of the Ultimate Warrior, who wrestled Triple H. very quick match. It was probably like a minute or so. Yeah. But it was like his like return though, so like, that was like a really big deal. I remember being when I was younger, and like when they announced that Warrior was coming back to WrestleMania, that was like that really was like the dessert after an amazing meal, because you're like, holy shit, we're gonna get Bret and Shawn Michaels, Undertaker and Diesel, and we're gonna get the Ultimate Warrior. What the fuck? This is great. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, because he was fighting Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yeah, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, right. Not just Triple H. He wasn't Triple H yet. He was still Hunter Hearst Helmsley, right? but you know, it was really good. And also what was cool about this WrestleMania, too, was that the year before WrestleMania 11 to me is the worst WrestleMania of all time. I hated that WrestleMania a lot.
11?
11. I hated WrestleMania 11. It was freaking terrible. But they made up for everything with WrestleMania 12, though. Like, they made it feel like it was a big deal. It didn't feel dingy. It wasn't stupid booking. It wasn't about, let's, you know, suck every celebrity's dick the way how they did at WrestleMania 11. You know, it was really all about wrestling. It was for the fans. It felt like mm-hmm. they did the shit for us, you know, like the diehards and everything. So it felt really, really, really good seeing that turnaround. So, my number 8 is WrestleMania 12.
Nice. My number 8 is WrestleMania 4.
Word. Finally, somebody finally appreciates WrestleMania 4. Because I cannot tell you how many people tell me how much they hate WrestleMania 4. Oh, finally, somebody appreciates it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Dude, WrestleMania 4, it was like, outside of WrestleMania 2 being like innovative, where they did it in 3 cities. Which was kind of stupid, I thought. If you look back at it now, you're like, man, that's a terrible idea.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, WrestleMania 4, we had a vacant title, and they had a tournament for it.
Yeah.
Like, how crazy is that? Man, WrestleMania 4, how do you even, like... WrestleMania 4, was, like I said, it was different, because you had that... The tournament where you had Randy Savage fighting Ted DiBiase in the finals. Mm-hmm.
You know, so you had all these, you know, you had all those just regular singles matches leading up to it, and then like then you got this finals, and then you had Randy Savage and Ted DiBiase, two huge names at the time. You know, you had like that 20-man battle royal, the Bad News Brown one. Mm-hmm. And then my boys, the Demolition, they beat Strike Force. Hell yeah. And then Brutus Beefcake was with Honky Tonk Man for the IC title. You're just looking at like straight old school, like that's just a dope pay-per-view. And it was like, I think it was like one of the first like 4-hour pay-per-views WrestleManias.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
So it was like super long, and you're just like, man, this is gonna be like super crazy right now, because yeah. It was like it's something we'd never seen before, right? So I really enjoyed it. I loved the way that they did it. I loved I think the cool thing too was that they had like it was basically the tournament. Like that happened at WrestleMania. It wasn't like, let's have these at house shows or this or that. Like the full tournament happened that night.
Hell yeah.
You know, which that's super crazy because now they don't do that, right? Because you're like, oh, we're going to do one on Raw. And like when they right. do with like the Dusty Classic, right? The Dusty Tag Team Classic, they're like, oh, well, tonight in Wichita, Kansas, which nobody saw unless you were there, so-and-so defeated blah. And you're like, all right, like, yeah. Cool. You want to see the whole thing because the cool thing about it was, like, they all fought, like, multiple matches throughout the night. So at the end, you're just like, dude, Randy Savage and Ted DiBiase are going to be so tired.
Right.
And now they got to fight each other for the championship. And you're just like, bro, like, this is going to be too crazy for me to handle right now.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, then you had, like, Rick Rude and Jake Roberts going in a tie draw. So you're like, oh, what's going to happen then? And then you just had, like, random matches. I think the one, you had the Ultimate Warrior versus Hercules for some reason.
It's like, Warrior needs a match. Just give him Hercules.
Yeah, because that was like, yeah, that was like back in the day when he was all kind of like getting crazy still.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was cool. It was just, again, looking back now, it's just like you had all your huge stars and you just had a great tournament with no gimmicks, really.
Yeah.
You know, and the only gimmick was it was a tournament, but it was something we'd never seen at WrestleMania before. But granted, you only had three other ones before.
Right.
But you are coming off one of the biggest WrestleMania at that time, right? WrestleMania 3.
Right.
So, like, how do you go ahead and follow that?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you basically have your vacated title, and let's just have a tournament for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Exactly. Nah, good shit right there, man, because that's real. Like, that's the thing is that, like, why I love WrestleMania 4 so much, because it really is, like, a mega card. It really is like a super mega card. You have a battle right. royal, a 16-man tournament. You still have title matches, and you have like regular grudge matches. Like you have everything just packed into this one pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And you know, it really made it unique and stand out. And especially with like Randy Savage winning the entire thing and the way how he won it by making sure that he did go through four guys in one match.
Mm-hmm. Pause.
That he actually did beat defeat four guys. I was like, wait, pause. you know, defeat four guys to win the championship to make sure that his victories that was that much greater. So no, I'm with you on that, man. That was a great pay per view. That was like one of my favorites as well too. My number where are we at? Seven. My number seven is WrestleMania 29, live from MetLife Stadium in
really?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Interesting.
I'm gonna tell you why, man. You know, like this one, it was, you know, I would rather it have been at 30, but I was cool. I was like, okay, I get it. You have a chance to be in New Orleans for 30. I get it. So because like to me, like I felt like WrestleMania 30 should have been in New York, but they did with 29 instead. So
right,
I'm like, okay.
Right.
I get why you're doing that. That's fine. But I really enjoyed this pay per view because it was I like when shows are in New York. Number one, I'm a mark for that. I feel that we had some. There was a lot of low expectations going into this WrestleMania, but I felt that what we got in return was really solid. You know, what we got really a really quality work, body of work overall. You know, with this WrestleMania, I felt that I hate Ryback to death, but I thought that his match with Mark Henry was actually like really good. You know, I enjoyed that. I thought it was cool as hell that Chris Jericho put Fandango over. You know, with you know letting him pin him, in, you know, at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Too bad that was in the next night for Fandango. That was like pretty much it for his WWE career, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But being able to see that though was kind of like, nice. They really are going to do something with Fandango. Okay, I see you. But nothing really happened though, unfortunately. But it is what it is. Undertaker and Punk, I thought had a fantastic match. You know, going into it was a little uncomfortable because, you know, Paul Bearer had like just passed away, not too long from that, and that his death was kind of being played into the angle, so it kind of felt weird. But them two ended up having a great match. Just goes to show that Taker and Punk are just, you know, consummate professionals. The Shield wrestled. That night as well too, and it was, you know, it was cool. I loved Triple H and Brock Lesnar during that event. That match felt like an old school Bruno Sammartino against Ivan Volkov or something like that felt like some really old school shit to me. With them two going at it as hard as they did because they were stiff. It felt like it was hard hitting. It felt like old school WWF New York shit, you know, wrestling at the Garden. Like, it really felt very old school, very grounded, very 70s. Not even 80s, very 70s. That's how that match felt to me, and I really liked it because it felt very old school, very gritty, and very honest. John Cena faced The Rock for the WWE title. I know that was met with a lot of controversy with hardcore fans because everyone was saying, you know, I thought it was once in a lifetime. That happened last year, but now we're having the rematch. It doesn't make any sense. But I think they had to do this because this had to be that traditional benchmark that happens at WrestleManias when the torch is passed to the next guy. You know, Hogan did it twice to both The Warrior and to The Rock, and this was The Rock doing the honor. A passionate on John Cena. And, you know, I think those moments have to be acknowledged because those moments are benchmark moments, you know, in WWE history. And I felt that this was a good opportunity. This was just done right. You know, The Rock went into there. The Rock went into WrestleMania as the world champion. He left out not the world champion. But everything had fell in the place the way it should have been. And plus, like I said, it was in New York. So... But not my number seven, WrestleMania 29.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hate on it. I just think it's interesting.
No, appreciate that.
What are we on, seven?
Yes, sir.
My number seven goes to WrestleMania 7.
Preach that.
More old school, man. Like, you're looking at 1991, like... We're in the midst of, like, the Cold War, Gulf War, yeah. Desert Storm, all that crap. Mm-hmm. And you got Sergeant Slaughter turning on America. So like he turned on America. Who does that?
Right.
And he's going to fight Hulk Hogan for the title. Well, he has the title.
Yeah.
And so it's like, dude, like they, you want to talk about how wrestling like brings everything that's going on in the world into their world. Like they did that for sure.
Oh yeah.
Like WrestleMania 7, dude, like I just remember how crazy it was that we had like a
quote unquote an American hero, right? This dude he's freaking Sergeant Slaughter. He's like our modern day G.I. Joe.
Hell yeah.
And he's just like, I'm just gonna turn my back on my country and I'm just gonna go be with the enemy and also I'm gonna take down your hero. You know, and you're just like, okay.
Why?
Yeah, right? Because, 91? I was, 6?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I mean, if you look back at the card, it's not, like, the greatest card that you could have. Mm. Like, you had Coco Beware fighting the Brooklyn Brawler. Like, nobody cares about that match. And then you had, like, anything else that was, Texas Tornado, Dino Bravo. Texas Tornado is just dope in general, right? Yeah. So he's always going to put on a dope show. You had Jake Roberts and Rick Martel in a blindfold match.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching that and you're just like these dudes can't see each other. And you know how they're just like pacing around and like trying to feel each other out. And you're like, I don't know how this is going to go down. I would have loved to be in the locker room, like, to listen to them try to plan that match. Like, can you imagine? Like, first of all, like, how much coke do you think, like, Jake Roberts was on and was like, bro, I think we'll just make it work.
Just have hope, man.
Yeah,
have hope.
I can just see, like, Rick Martel's like, you better give me some of that coke that you're right. about to do.
So I want to feel what you're feeling right now, the confidence you have.
Right. And then you had the Japanese guys. You had Tenryu and Kitao fighting Demolition. Mm-hmm. So that was when they were starting to bring in a lot of those Japanese guys for stuff.
Yeah.
So you had like that match, Boss Man, Mr. Perfect, which is always dope. It was not like the greatest card, but it's the stories that you're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And, like, it told, like, you just, it would be like if we had, like, another Donald Trump thing happen, like, at WrestleMania this year, right? You just bring something in there and, like, you know, you just do something that's happening with the times.
Right.
So the fact that they encompassed that into, like, their biggest show of the year was just, I don't want to say it's, like, revolutionary, but... You hit people, like, you get them emotionally invested, right?
True, yeah.
Because what do you want to do? You want to sell tickets.
Right.
And so you're sitting there, as a fan, you're going to be like, dude, like, I'm going to go and I'm going to watch freaking Hulk Hogan beat Sergeant Slaughter. Like, because he's going to get justice back and he's going to do this and that. And of course he wins, so everyone leaves happy, right? So I just story wise, I think it was great.
Dope. I'm with you. For real. That WrestleMania 7 is one of my favorites as well too. That's one we get to another time. But yeah, no, I'm with you on that though. My number 6 is going to be WrestleMania 20. Here we are once again back at Madison Square Garden. I told you I love the New York WrestleManias. I love them to death. This one, looking back on it. Just felt, I mean, if, once again, a card that just felt larger than life, felt like a monster watching it. What was really cool about this one was that there were every championship title was on the line, which I really did appreciate. They made sure that every title was on the line. And this time, WWE had a lot of titles going, you know, circling around. They had the U.S., the IC, they had the World, they had the WWE, they had two sets of tag team championships, they had the Cruiserweight, the Women's. So it was a lot of gold that was happening all over the place. But this was a good one, though, because, you know, John Cena won his first singles title, was the U.S. champion. We had, right, we had a... like I said, two sets of tag team champions were wrestling as well too. This was the very first Hall of Fame induction that was included in the WrestleMania weekend, and because normally the Hall of Fame was taking place around Survivor Series, you know, for all the years beforehand, but this is the first time it was moved to WrestleMania weekend, and they inducted guys men like Billy Graham, Bobby Heenan, Tito Santana, Jesse Ventura, Sergeant Slaughter, as Dane was talking about a minute ago, Greg Valentine. So they had a really who's who list of the old school men going into the Hall of Fame, which was really great to see and everything. This is when we got the first Brock Lesnar against Goldberg match, which was really infamous. And dude, it went like a long time, but it was like mostly headlocks though, and the entire stadium, the entire arena just booed the shit out of him because it was a terrible match. We got Eddie Guerrero against Kurt Angle, which was a good match as well too. Undertaker against Kane, which not only Undertaker versus Kane was like brother versus brother in a WrestleMania rematch, but also the interpromotional match as well too, whereas I think Taker was coming from SmackDown and Kane was part of Raw, so it was an inter promotional match, which was really cool to see. And then of course the main event, which was the triple threat between Chris Benoit, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels for the World Championship, with Triple H being the champion. Phenomenal match, and we see Chris Benoit defeat the makes Triple H tap out, and he wins the World Championship. And you know, we get that image every year, you know, like when it's when we see Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero hugging in the middle of the ring, because they both left out being champions, and sadly, like, they're both not here anymore. But that WrestleMania you want to talk about benchmarks. I mean, that was just like really that was a really prime situation. It was a really prime situation. WWE was in. It was a very unique situation as well too. It felt like we were going into a brand new era of wrestling overall, and it was just a fantastic, phenomenal show. And even like I know you collect the DVDs and shit, Danny. Did you ever buy WrestleMania 20 on DVD?
I have the anthology, so it goes up to 22.
Okay, I got you. All yeah. Right, well. The WrestleMania 20 DVD itself was one of my favorites because it was like a hard book, you know, and you know it was like four different discs because it came with two discs for WrestleMania itself, the Hall of Fame disc, and a special bonus extras disc and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was like in this very hard, this hard book, this hard case. It was cool to like kind of like flip around and everything. It looked good. It felt good, and it really reflected the importance of this WrestleMania. So, it's always gonna be like near and dear to my heart. But yeah, WrestleMania 20 is my number six.
Okay. My number six we already talked about is WrestleMania 10.
Oh, okay.
Basically for all the other every reason that we've already talked about. I mean. You're introducing the first ever ladder match in a WrestleMania, yeah. Which then took off into tables, ladders, and chairs matches where you had all these other crazy like matches happening. But it was like it was crazy because if you look at like Razor Ramon's match against Shawn Michaels, they used like a ladder.
Yeah.
Like when you look at ladder matches now, they lined ladders from the entrance to the ring, around the ring, under right. the ring, and it's like, you really need that many ladders? Because yeah. Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon did it with one. I think they did two. Two, I think. Two, because I think one of them broke, like, during.
Yeah.
But, you had, of course, you know, you're looking at their 10th anniversary, just everything was just like super awesome because wrestling was in like a really decent spot at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then like you were talking about earlier, you get Bret Hart and Yokozuna, you have Bret Hart against Owen Hart, which is, you know, up there with one of the best matches ever.
Right.
And so you just had a lot of good wrestling and they're, you know, celebrating 10 years and you're like, man, this is going to be, I think they caught on and we're doing something good. So let's just keep doing it. And then as we can see now, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger from there.
Yeah, exactly. So, it took on a life of its own for real.
Yeah.
That's real right there. But yeah, so anyway, so yeah, that is our bottom five of our top 10. So that's 10 through 6. Next week we'll be doing 5 through 1 for you all. So if you know, and that's one thing, is like, you know, if you are listening and you have the WWE Network and you have not seen some of these manias, I highly recommend you checking some of these out, especially around this time of year. You know, it's a great time of year because it is Mania week coming up. So lots of WrestleMania fever. Kind of puts you in the mood. This is kind of like, for every wrestling fan, this is like our Christmas, basically. You know, like, you know, this is something that we really look forward to a lot this every time around this time of year. So check it out and everything. Recap what we're talking about by visually seeing what it is that we're talking about, and you get a feel of where we are coming from. And if you all have any WrestleManias or any WrestleMania moments, or even any type of, like, you know, kind of like your own personal connection with a WrestleMania, maybe like something that connects to your childhood or a good memory or whatever, and if you like telling us, tell us. Hit us up either on email, mdxpodcast1@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Facebook, hit us up in the inbox, however, or Instagram, however you want to do it. If you want to share your own personal kind of WrestleMania testimony or anything else in general that's going on, hit us up. We'll read your response in the air. We'll give you a shout out, show you some love, you know, up your followers and whatnot, and you know, do the damn thing for you. You know what I'm saying? So this way, you're a part of this conversation. Then, alright?
I think most people that listen to this show are wrestling fans, but for people that don't, like, WrestleMania is like, it's not just like another wrestling event. Like, everyone always says, like, it's the Super Bowl of professional wrestling, which is true. It's on that level, right? Because you have all the, you have like the pageantry of it all, right?
Yeah.
It is WrestleMania week. Like, WrestleMania, technically, the festivities start on a Thursday, and it goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and now they've actually added SmackDown on Tuesday,
right,
into like the travel packages. Oh, so, yeah. Nice. So it's a thing now. Like,
yeah.
So it's literally a Thursday to a Tuesday. That's WrestleMania week.
Nice.
You know, so it's and just to show the magnitude of it, we're doing what, 33 this year. Mm-hmm. So for me, I start 33 days out, and I will watch one every day until 33, which I will watch live.
Damn, you do that?
Yeah, I do it every year.
Every year I always say I'm going to do that, but I just never get around to. Nice. That's good shit. That's cool as hell.
I do it with the big four, usually.
Yeah.
If I can find it. I always do it for Mania, and then if I can do it for, like, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam, I'll do it.
Hell yeah, that's good shit right there.
You know, but so, I mean, that's what it is for us. Like, it's not just like another show. Like, you, like, we like, and it sounds stupid, but we physically prepare ourselves for this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, it's going to be one of the, I mean, we watch our pay-per-views and stuff once a month, twice a month now. We watch, you know, Raw, SmackDown every week, but like with WrestleMania, and even though I keep saying, you know, recently that I'm not invested and I don't care, I'm not, but it's WrestleMania.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, it literally is like the Super Bowl, where you're going to watch it even if you don't care who's playing in it.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to watch it for the commercials. You want to see this, you want to see that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always going to get some sort of surprise at WrestleMania. It always happens every year. So, like, that's kind of what it is for, like, wrestling fans.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And to add to that real quick, it's like, there really isn't any other feeling during the entire year that you get. The feeling that you get when you wake up WrestleMania Sunday. I don't know what it is, but it's like, you freaking feel like you can float. You feel like you're invincible. Like, nothing can take you out. Like, if you're on this high, the second you wake up that morning, you're on a high for the entire day. I mean, you're basically on a high for the entire weekend because, you know, the Hall of Fame and NXT TakeOver and all that stuff is going on. But it's something about when you wake up that Sunday morning and the lights are coming in through your bedroom and you're just, you know, you're starting your day off, you're having your cup of coffee, and you're like, God damn, it's WrestleMania Sunday. Hell yeah. You know, it's like a euphoric feeling. It's nothing better than that. And you really don't get that feeling for any other reason during the entire year. So, you know, it's something that's very special, and it's very important to all us fans. So, you know, we're 11 days out, man. Geet for the shit.
Yeah, go go sign up for the WWE Network if you don't have it. You can watch it for free.
Right. Yeah, but that's gonna be it though, y'all. We want to thank you very much for listening. Once again, you know, hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you know, Podomatic, obviously. Subscribe to us on iTunes. It's very critical. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a comment. Leave us a rating. You know, give us a 5-star rating as well too, just to show how great we are and everything, and how much you enjoy this show. You know, if you really love us. You know, all that love really does mean a lot to us and everything, and we have you to thank for it. But yeah, but other than that, though, we should be all set with everything. Dan, you got anything else, bro?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Until next time, we'll holler at y'all later. Peace.